Good morning. Today's scripture reading is Romans 3, 21 through 24. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
Appreciate the scripture reading. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I appreciate Brian mentioning it in communion. Is it a positive or negative statement? Encouraging or discouraging to hear that? The person who picked this scripture, I think a little bit, was kind of trying to find one of those funny and shocking scriptures that you would never put on a wall, that you would never make into wall art. Like, it'd be a little, like, it's kind of an intense verse to just put up on a house. And again, it's kind of funny. That's a funny idea, to pick a funny scripture that you would never post anywhere and, like, put it in the living room. It's kind of like putting Leviticus 12:3 on a cup towel. But if you want to paint a cute picture of shocking scripture that you would never put up, we miss some good ones. There's a lot more shocking scripture out there than this one. A lot that would be pretty hard to do a sermon on, especially with kids in the room. But you can see here, there's a little arrow pointing to a comma, because that's not the end of the point Paul's trying to make in this scripture, because the next part has good news about how we're justified by faith and by grace. Something that this was a youth kid that made this art here, and it was something that was mentioned to me that was from one of Clay's messages that about the comma. And so, good job, Clay. Look, what you're doing matters. So great job. I personally find the verse more encouraging than discouraging. Sin is sad. It causes pain and suffering. You don't want to, you don't want to view it as like everyone sins, so sin is okay. That's not what it's saying. But it is pointing to a reality of life, and a reality about people, a reality about our world, and a reality about something within us, a reality we deep down know is true. But sometimes we have these false ideas in our heads that tell us something differently. We have stories in our heads that we tell ourselves about our own sin, and stories that we tell ourselves about other people's sin that is really unhealthy. And I want you to address some of these stories you tell yourself today. On one side, we look at a verse like this, and we have some people who walk in here and think, I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all these other people in here, they haven't. At least not like me. Like, I've sinned way worse than all of these other people. I think some people come out, I mean, I've heard that sentiment expressed lots of times. I'm a worse sinner than everyone else in church. And there is something important about realizing the weight and the damage of your sin. As long as it moves you to repentance, as long as it moves you to healing and forgiveness, again, we don't want people to just come in here and realize their sin and then beat themselves up and think they're stuck in it forever. We want you to realize your sin so that you can address it. Sometimes you do have to see the weight of your sin. Sometimes you do have to see how it harms others, how it's damaged you, before you can choose to try and change. But for a lot of people, we just get stuck in the shame of the sin. It's something that just keeps us down, makes us think, I don't belong here with these people. I can never escape this sin. I'm worse than all these people. And when we have those emotions attached to our sin, it makes it much harder to face it, much harder to deal with it. And so I want to ask you, is that a lie that you've been telling yourself? That your sin's worse than everyone else's and all these people are better? Is that this tape that just keeps repeating in your head, I don't belong here? And it makes it harder to interact with people. Are you kind of telling yourself, if these people knew what I've done, they wouldn't talk to me? If my sin was exposed here, I would just be ran out. All these people are super Christians, and I'm just not one of them. I don't belong here. I've heard a lot of that expressed here and in a lot of churches. And it's not true. It's fake news. If you think you're the worst sinner in here, you're believing a lie. Here in this room, we've covered every sin across the spectrum. We really have. We are worse sinners in here than you think. In here is represented every bad sin you can think of. Adultery, all kinds of sexual sin. Drugs and alcohol. We got a lot of people in recovery in here. You aren't alone. People who have really hurt others in here. People who have abused others. People who have really done some damage in other people's lives. People who have told lie after lie, lived a lie. People who have exploited Christianity for their own purpose. People who are putting up fronts. People with just sinful mindsets. There is much more bad sin in here than you think. Probably even than I think. And honestly, it would be pretty sad if we could just see everybody's sin in here. Just see it like this label they wear on themselves that just exposes all their sin and all the damage. If we all just had these labels of our sin right in front of us, it would be sad. But thank God we don't have that. Thank God we don't have to do that. Thank God that when we see each other in here, we don't see all of our sin. And most importantly, thank God that when he looks at us, he doesn't just see all of our sin. We're not defined by our worst moments. God doesn't define us by our worst moments. And that's really what this verse is getting after the comma. That is what it is saying. Through faith in Christ Jesus, that sin is washed away. And God sees us as righteous. He sees us as good people. The way God sees us is the way a lot of you are telling yourselves everybody else is in here. A lot of us come in here and, oh, they're all a bunch of great, good, Christian, righteous people. And we know deep down we're not. But that is the way God sees us. Through faith, we are justified. Now, on the other side of that, when we think about this part of this verse in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, I think there's another way some people take it. They take it as most have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but not me. I mean, not really. You know, I've sinned, but nothing bad. It was one of those, like Brian mentioned, one of those little sins. One of those sins that's not really a big deal that everybody does anyway. That's the only sins I've had. None of the bad sins, though. I think a lot of the people who, they like a good sin sermon that makes it about someone else, not them. Maybe that's kind of what they're thinking about is, I want a sermon about sin, but I wanted to address the real bad sins that I don't have so that I can pat myself on the back and feel good about it. Now, I don't want to totally pick on people who've said that. I know there is something about high standards in our world, and we do want high standards for sin. So that part of it is fair to want a good sin sermon. But there is certainly some sins that we kind of put on a pedestal as worse and some not so bad, right? What do you think those are? What are the bad sins that you really can't do? We really can't have that, and I don't do that one, and if I don't do that sin, then I'm a pretty good person. You know, maybe it is sexual sin. I think that's a big one the church has historically harped on. Maybe it's the real tangible ones that are easy to see and easy to point at, right? Like drug abuse, bad language, or like stealing, not going to church enough. You know, there's things that are easy to point at and easy to identify. And as long as we don't do the easily identifiable sins, then we're good. We're good Christians. by some standards, if you're thinking that, like, maybe you are right. Like, good job. You don't do the really bad, don't do the really visible sins. Good job. But if you think that's what makes you righteous, you're wrong. And according to Christ Jesus, according to this text, you are wrong. That is not doing the bad sins isn't what makes you righteous. You have sinned and you have fallen short of the glory of God. And the only reason you are a good and righteous person is because of the blood of Christ Jesus. But when we have this mindset that I don't do the bad sins or the small sins, we are saying there are some acceptable sins. Some sins that are no big deal, everybody does them, and we don't really need to address them. Don't touch them. It's fine. Like, God can't really expect us to not do some of these things, right? But I believe it's these smaller acceptable sins that shape who we are. And if you look at Jesus and you look at the way he dealt with the Pharisees, those were the sins he was addressing a lot. So what do you think are those sins? What are the sins that are small? The sins that are acceptable? The sins that we don't really address and don't really talk about? I've thought about a few I'll share, and this is it's a long list, right? There's a lot we could put in that category. One I thought about was harsh judgment. Kind of looking at people and just saying, I'm better than them. I'm better than that gross person. Or they have no sense. That person's just an idiot. They know nothing. We naturally make judgments about people, but sometimes it's this harsh comparison that we make that is really harsh towards a person, but it's also at the same time elevating ourselves. Similar lines to judgment is gossip. Gossip can be far more dangerous than even some of the big sins like adultery, right? It can destroy lives. Gossip can split churches. In my internship, one of my youth internships, it was a tough group. They were a bunch of sinners like y'all and like us. And there was some sexual sin going on, and it was a nightmare for a youth intern. But there was also judgment and jealousy and gossip that really seemed to do a lot of damage, maybe just as much, if not more. They're small sins with big, big consequences. I think another acceptable sin is greed, right? Making money our God. Caring more about money and everything that comes with it, the status, the stuff, the clothes, the looks. And I'm saying this as someone who's guilty of it. All of this stuff. Something I'm working on. I struggle with it. But Jesus has no part in the chase and love of money. And selfishness, right? Our world says it's okay. We're very individualistic. It's okay to put yourself first at all times. It's so natural, so we don't think about it. And so we excuse selfishness all the time. But Christ has called us to something higher. And so that's got to be this constant battle. And then all of these, I was kind of, another word I was thinking of is a sin that we don't talk about a lot, but it's super damaging and it's everywhere, is elitism. I want to be elite. And very honestly, there's a part of me that thinks Christians in Abilene have more of an issue with this than other places. I think it is more of an Abilene problem than maybe some other places and towns I've lived in. If it's not more of a problem, it's more visible. You can see it. You can see this Christian elitism. But elitism, wanting to elevate yourself and maybe elevate yourself and possibly my small group of preferred people. Usually my small group of preferred people, they look like me. Maybe they're the same race. Maybe they are the same income tax bracket. It's not okay. Elitism is what was dividing the church when it first started. Racial elitism, the whole Jew and Gentile split, which is what Paul's addressing here in our text. In Corinth, the elitism was all about money. It was about status. And still, I think we have some of those elitist splits today. And when God sees people come to the faith community and sees people communicate with their words or with their actions, that in this community, there are people who are less important, I think that breaks God's heart. I think it is very damaging. If that separation is based, the separation in church is based on looks or wealth, I believe God just wants to spit that out. I know that. I know that's what he wants to do. Look at Jesus' rant in Matthew 23, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But there are lots of acceptable sins, possibly sin we aren't even aware of, possibly things we're doing that we don't even realize the consequences of it. And if you're hearing me say this stuff this morning and you want to fight it, and if you're saying, oh, he's talking to someone down the pew, I want you to think, no, what about you? What are the acceptable sins in your life? Or if you're thinking, oh, he's pointing this at me and now I'm mad at Brady. I'm not. Maybe the Holy Spirit is. That would be cool. I would like that. But I want to really encourage you, if you're getting defensive about this stuff, to lay down those defenses for just a moment and ask yourself, am I guilty of any of this stuff? Am I only concerned about certain people in here? In my mind, are there insiders and outsiders in my life, and that some are far more valuable in my mind than others? Am I far more worried about my image than God and his kingdom? If you are, you're missing the mark. And that's okay. I don't want to beat you up. I don't want you to crawl out of here. I want you to identify and realize the weight of your sin and to find healing and transformation. Westgate is a great church. I love this church. I love you guys. I love being here. Tons of great people. I love how all these people invest in my kids. But like the early church, and like every church in town, there can be factions. There can be divisions. And we need to keep ourselves in check and be aware of that. We need to work against our natural tendencies in that way. Factions and divisions that probably feel innocent. But you might need to reflect on if you are doing things that build up the whole church or just your little group. I remember seeing this in youth ministry a lot. You see this small group get really tight, and that's really great, and it's really good for them, and you love seeing it, but then you don't realize how detrimental it is because it's just created insiders and outsiders. Could you be building up your own little group to the detriment of the church? You got to keep those things in check. In Romans, one of the big divisions it's played out throughout Romans, it's one of the things that Paul really seems to be addressing, is there's a Jewish and Gentile split in Rome. Probably frowned at each other a lot, maybe met separately, we don't really know a whole lot. But in our text, he's addressing that. So what connects these two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles in Rome? It's kind of a weird one, but this is a connecting point. This is something in a weird way that puts them on the same playing field. It's something in a weird way that can draw them together. He says, hey guys, if you think about it, I know you're frowning each other and you're arguing about dates and food and all these different things that separate you. But here's one you have in common. You both messed up. You both continue to mess up. And you both are in desperate need of God's grace and salvation. You have that in common. You've both been saved by the blood of Christ Jesus. You both have Jesus as Lord. You are both madly loved by God. And you should do the same to each other. So may we not come in here today or next week or ever thinking we are alone in sin. You are not alone in your sin. And may we not come in here thinking we are better than anyone else. For any reason, God forgive us for thinking that way. We are just a bunch of righteous people, but only because of the grace of God. That's it. So I want to leave you this morning with one more verse that was made into art. One more verse on the All Church Retreat. Someone made this into art, and it's a nice text. And it's a reminder. Sin isn't the end of the story. Sin, there's a comma there. It keeps going. Sin isn't the end of the sermon. This isn't just like, all right, bunch of sinners, go beat yourself up and leave. No, there's a comma there. You just need to admit the areas in your life where there is sin. Places where you messed up. Once you can admit it, then you can find healing. Then you can find that you're still loved. Then you can find that there is a God and a community that wants to love you and surround you, that you still have value. So I want to close this morning with Romans. This is Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced, and thinking of our sin in the back of our mind here, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you are here this morning and are ready to address sin, if you're here this morning and ready to make changes and ready to find transformation, or if you have any other need, your church family is here, and we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.